I have two readings this morning. The first is found in Mark chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Verse 5. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Verse 19. After the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Now Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. To which of the angels has he said at any time, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to render service for those who are to inherit salvation? Given that it was then Easter, last Lord's Day, we focused our attention particularly on our Lord's death and resurrection. And I understand that in the service following, John Bodger will be looking at the subject of our Lord's ascension. For our meditation this morning, I should like to consider with you just one aspect of what results from that ascension, namely, our Lord's present session at the right hand of God, and in particular, the question posed by the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 13. To which of the angels has he, God, said at any time, "Sit at my right hand"? It's clear that for someone to sit at the right hand of another in the ancient world was to occupy the position of the very highest honour and eminence. When the Jewish historian Josephus reported the seating arrangement in the camp of King Saul, then probably at Gibeah, he said that there sat by him, King Saul, his son Jonathan at his right hand, and Abner, the captain of his host, at his other hand. We read in 1 Kings 2 that when Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah, the king sat down on his throne, and he caused a throne to be set for the king's mother, and she sat at his right hand. And again, when Tiridates, king of Armenia, visited Nero in AD 62, the emperor gave Tiridates a seat at his right hand in the theatre, as a token of respect and honour. But our Lord Jesus is not seated at the right hand of any Israelite king in either Gibeah or Jerusalem, nor at the right hand of any despot in Rome. Chapter 8 of our letter opens by speaking of him as sat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty, the throne of the greatness in the heavens. Yes, indeed, Mr. Kelly, the highest place that heaven affords is his. And it's unthinkable that any angel should presume, should dare, to sit in that place of supreme dignity and honour. It's not that angels cannot sit, for we know they can, but they cannot sit there. And we read in Matthew 28, for example, that an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, rolled back the stone from the entrance to our Lord's tomb, that is, and sat upon it. And in Mark 16, which we read, that when the women from Galilee arrived on that scene, they saw an angel in appearance as a young man then sitting inside the tomb. Indeed, it would be difficult to miss the contrast struck by Mark in that chapter. But according to verse 5, the young man was sitting on the right side of the tomb, whereas according to verse 19, the Lord was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and the same Greek word is translated right side and right hand in those verses. An angel could sit at the right hand of the tomb, but no angel could ever sit at the right hand of God. An angel could announce our Lord's coming into the world. An angel could minister to him following his temptations in the wilderness. An angel could strengthen him during his agony in the garden. An angel could make known his resurrection. And angels could witness his ascension. But no angel could, or can, ever sit where he is now sitting, according to our verses from Hebrews 1, though he sits. They are only sent. The Gospels tell us many occasions when our Lord sat while he was in the world. We know, for example, that when he was 12 years old, Mary and Joseph, I quote, found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. Just think of that for a moment. The very Lord of hosts, who the prophet Isaiah had seen in his great temple palace vision, sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and then surrounded by the seraphim, and with the train of his robe filling the heavenly temple, now sitting on the ground, surrounded by a group of Jewish rabbis, in the earthly temple. Again we read in John chapter 4, that he came to Jacob's well. Jesus therefore, being wearied from his journey, John says, sat just as he was at the well. And again we read, Jesus sat opposite the treasury, the temple treasury, and saw how the people put money into the treasury. Oh yes, when in the world our Lord sat to hear, to rest, and to observe. And one day, he will return to the world in glory, when heaven, which opened on him more than once when he was in the world, will open for him. And then he will come forth, in the imagery of Revelation chapter 19, seated on a white horse, followed by the armies of heaven. But in the present, now, this morning, he is seated where no angel has ever sat or ever will sit. The apostles Peter and Paul stress this clearly. For his part, Paul speaks in Ephesians 1 of the exertion of God's mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And for his part, Peter speaks at the close of chapter 3 of his first letter of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. We have come this morning to remember our Lord Jesus. and by means of his appointed symbols to proclaim his death. And as we do, we remind ourselves that he sits today at God's right hand, not only by virtue of God's personal invitation, "Sit at my right hand," but also by virtue of his own completed work. For it is, we are told at the beginning of chapter 1, as having made purification for sins, that our Lord Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. It is, we are told at the beginning of chapter 12, as having endured the cross, despising the shame, that our Lord Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it is, we are told in verse 12 of chapter 10, as having offered one sacrifice for sins forever, that this man sat down at the right hand of God. Say it again, Mr. Kelly. The highest place that heaven affords is his.